to Jeff, you bad motherfucker.
Yeah, welcome back, podcast world. I'm your host, Rasta Jeff. This is episode 876 of the Grow From Your Heart podcast. You know I've got a great episode lined up for us. In today's show, I'm going to give away free seeds. Hang out, we'll talk more about those free seeds later on in the show. Before we get too far, I do want to send a big thank you shout out for all of the great responses to the previous episode. The previous episode, of course, was the Clone Care Show. I did a full podcast about taking clones. I talked about making clones in an easy cloner environment. I talked about clones in a clone dome setup. I went on for a full hour. It was a great show. I got a lot of great response. Thank you for all of the great responses. That is very encouraging. That show was a lot of energy to put together, and it definitely was worth it due to all of the great response. Thank you. If you didn't see it already, after you watch this one, go check out the previous show about cutting clones. And in the very near future, I will work on an episode about potting those clones. Once you cut them, they're going to start to grow roots eventually. We're going to have to put them into something. I'll make an episode for you about that coming soon. All right. This episode is going to be a question and answer podcast. I have a website. That website is iregenetics.com. At the top of that website, there is a row of tabs. One of those tabs does say Grow Help or Grow Questions. If you click on that tab, guess what? You get to send me a grow question. If I read your question here on the podcast, I will send you a coupon code for a free pack of seeds at iredirect.com. The first question on today's podcast came from our new friend who wants to be called Ryan D. Big shout out to my new friend, Ryan. Thank you for the great question. Ryan, check your inbox and also check your spam because you have got a coupon code for a free pack of seeds at iredirect.com. Ryan's question, there's a nice intro. Thank you for your service. I'll start with that. He does mention that he is a veteran, a disabled veteran. There's more to it, but then it gets right to the question. It says, I have a question on growing naturally and scrogging. Scrogging, of course, is when we put a net down and we work the plants into the net and we trellis them out. We'll talk more about that as we go on. So it says, I have a question about growing naturally and scrogging. So naturally is going to be not scrogging them out, just letting them grow wild, letting them get big. It's a big difference, in my opinion, in my grow. It says, when you do, which do you prefer and why? I've grown both ways and I've hit a monster number on two plants in an AC Infinity 4x5. I hit 15 plus ounces on a harvest. In a 4x4, you got 15 ounces. We can improve that, my dude. Guaranteed we can improve that. It's not a bad harvest, but we can increase that. But there is more. He goes on. It says, I've grown other plants naturally and only lollipopped them and I get roughly 200 grams. Thank you, Rasta Jeff. I look forward to hearing your reply. Stay cool. Keep pushing them killer strains. He wraps it up with, I have been wanting the Lemon Jeffrey, but you seem to be out. Yes, I'm out of Lemon Jeffrey seeds for the time being. I'm currently out. I will make more. Those are in the rotation to be remade. It just takes me a minute to get them back in line. There will be clones and cuts available on iRedirect randomly. Maybe join the newsletter on iRegenetics.com. I will let you know when those clones and cuttings are available. But the Lemon Jeffrey will be back in seed form eventually. Let me stay focused here. The main part of the question is, which do I prefer? Do I prefer to trellis the plants out or let them grow naturally was the other option here. So it kind of depends on the goal and the situation. If I'm just doing a quick pheno hunt, and I want to run small plants, I might do a bunch of those, and I will not trellis them. I will put up a trellis net, but it serves a different purpose in this run. I'm going to just use that net as a support. So those plants are going to grow right up into it, and that one top cola is just going to be supported by that net. That's all that trellis net is for. So in some runs, no, I don't do it. If I'm just doing a quick small run of a pheno hunt to pack a tent full of just a bunch of small plants and see what we get, then no, I will not trellis them. I will not top them. I'll do minimal lollipopping, which is just cleaning up that junk on the bottom. Minimal work to them on a pheno hunt. Now, once I've found the keeper plant and I'm filling up a tent and I want to make some production out of it, I trellis the shit out of those rooms. I crop it. I scrog it. So I'll start with plants that are approximately waist high, chest high to me. I'm a tall dude. That's 3 or 4 feet. And I'll bang those plants down until they're 2 feet tall to start my trellis. And then I will work those plants out. Instead of being this tall, I'll bang them out to be a flat canopy. And the reason for doing this, There's a lot of reasons for doing this. I find, and I do this in a commercial environment, I trellis them very heavily. I put out the nets and then I work the plants into that canopy very heavily all through veg, early flower, and then possibly late into the flowering phase. I won't stop working them in. If I can level that out a little bit, I will still keep doing it. My reason for this, if I don't do it, I'm going to get those big giant glory buds that grow right into my lights, and then I get a bunch of buds down here at the bottom that aren't getting enough light. I could top that and take that big top out, or I could bend that bad bitch over and work it through the net and work it down the canopy a little bit better. I could take all those side branches and pull those down. Now what happens? You have a branch that is growing straight up or kind of up. It's growing out from the plant and growing up. It's growing upward. These plants want to go up. They go toward the light. Gravity tells them which way is up. They want to go up. That's what they're going to do. They have apical dominance. One branch is going to fight for the top at all times. So when we trellis them down, we do a few things. The plant starts to say, hey, all the tops have been lowered. I've got a chance to be the top at this point. Maybe I could be the top. And they all start growing more rapidly. They want to be the top. It evens out the growth of that plant a little bit. The hormones move around. It makes that plant want to grow more evenly. Now, also what will happen, those branches that were growing up, we've now leveled them out. They're horizontal. Now, your shoots are going to grow out of those. Normally, you'd grow a branch and it would get a shoot right here that would grow a bud. It would get a shoot that would grow a bud. Now, your plant is horizontal. All those shoots are going to grow vertically up. And you're going to have a nice, smooth, even canopy with a bunch of shoots growing out of that. Instead of just a bunch of like three or four big donkey dicks, now we're going to get a whole bunch of regular size dicks, which is a very terrible comparison. I kind of wish I wouldn't have gone that route. This is where we are. So now, instead of just those three big fucking glory buds in the room, you've got a whole bunch of nice, manageable buds across the entire room. Now, if you're growing in a 5x5 tent, if you've got that hot LED light, you're going to have a couple of buds. If you don't trellis them, you'll have a couple of buds that are right at that light. The tops of those are going to look like shit. They're going to get crispy. It'll get a little bit better as it gets down. And then down here at the bottom, all these plants are going to be shaded out by your colas. They're not going to get enough light. Now that we've spread that out and evened it out, that light is going to be even across the whole canopy. You're going to get nice, even buds in the entire tent. And I can do that in a gigantic room. I used to run rows that were 6 feet wide and 75 feet long and trellis the entire thing. And when it came harvest time, the canopy was perfectly fucking even. Those plants, it just looked like you took a hedge trimmer and evened them out because we worked that canopy so much. So I prefer to trellis them. I prefer to scrog them if I'm going for production, if I want numbers, if I want to see some results. Even in my breeding runs, I trellis those plants down because I can lower it, spread it out more, and not get them up there toward that hot light, create a more even space. So what I do, I take that branch, and you can watch, there are 1,000 great videos out there. What's his name? Mr. Scroggett. Watch that dude if you want to be a professional scrogger. I always shout out, Mr. Rob Janey taught me how to really scrog. I knew how to do it, was intimidated by it. Rob Janey was kind of like, don't be a pussy, pop it, twist it, scrog that bitch in there. And that's where I really learned how to do it. So we're taking a branch that's going up. I'm going to grab it down here a little bit and give it a little twist. You're going to hear it go pop. And now that branch is very manipulatable. I don't know what the word is. And then I've got my net that is, it's about here, right? My net has come down. I've lowered my net to where this top is just sticking out. I'm going to bend that branch down into another square of the net and work it in. And if it's long enough, I'll let it pop out of the other side. And that part's going to start growing and working its way up. All these shoots now are going to work their way up. When this one gets a little bit longer, I might work it into the next part of the canopy. If it doesn't get long enough, I might free it and let it grow up. This is a work in progress. The canopy, the scrogging is a daily process. I'm in there every couple of days, just popping them, twisting them, working them where I want to be so that I can maximize that 5x5 space. There's a guy named Eric Bixa that wrote an article called Growing on the Grid probably 25 years ago that I read, and that stuck in my head. Why would I want to grow? Let's think about it this way. You got a 5x5 tent that is 5x5x5x5, whatever. You do the geometry there, this many cubic feet of grow space. Would you, if I told you, fill that cubic grow space with weed, do you want a low canopy with a couple of big buds sticking out, wasting space? Or would you try to pack that bitch nice and evenly to where all of that canopy is filled with weed? That's what Eric Bixa teaches us to do in the article Growing on the Grid. He wants, so his ideal setup, what I would do also, now what I've kind of learned, I use two net systems. One is to pull the plants down to lower them, and I weave them into that. Then as they grow, I put up another net to support those colas, because if I do it right, they're going to get big. in a big commercial environment, I would put a third net also. It would get crazy. I know it sounds wild, but those buds were 4, 5, 6, or 7 feet tall. So my first grog is to pull them down. My second one is to grow, to keep them supported. What I want to do is have one cola in every square of my 3x3 canopy netting. So one bud in everything. That is called growing on the grid, and I learned that one from Eric Bixa. Another thing that I learned was from my buddy Subcool. Shout out to Subcool. Rest in peace, brother. Fucking miss you. I wish you were still around to teach me some more shit and spread some good seeds. But Subcool once taught me, he said the same thing. If I gave you a fucking cooler, brother, and I told you to fill it with weed, would you put a few buds in there this way and stack them up like baguettes where you can barely close it? Or would you put a bunch of normal-sized buds in there and just fill that bad bitch all day with normal-sized buds? It's up to you. So it makes sense to me. That's why I prefer scrogging, trellising, working a canopy. There's a lot to it. That's not just pulling the net down and fucking lowering the plants. I let the plants grow, and then I just drop the net right on them. Just pull it down. I put it on each corner of the tent and pull two corners at a time and just kind of work my way around and watch the plants bend down. You'll see. You'll start getting stressed out. When you're freaking out those plants are going to bend or break, go a little bit further. That's when you need to start getting in there and spreading them out. I'm not going to teach you all about scrogging right now. Mr. Scroggit is who to go for that, honestly. So many videos out there, but spread them out. Then I also recommend popping and twisting the bottom from where the plant comes out of the dirt up to where all of it. Actually, I pop that main stalk. I grab it with two hands. I give it a little twist, a pop. And then I do it up again up here, pop, and then I do it again up here, pop, and I'll work the entire main stalk of that plant. Once I've done from top to bottom of that main stalk, I'll do every single branch. Start at the bottom, pop, pop, pop. What this does is it makes a little knurl, a knuckle in your branch, and that branch will get a little bit stronger and a little bit thicker and a little bit more robust. This serves a couple of purposes in my mind. This will allow for sturdier, beefier plants, which can support bigger, sturdier, beefier buds. And those bigger branches are going to be able to promote more bud growth as well. Then the next thing I do, I take off all that shit on the bottom below that first net. Once they start to grow into that, I start cleaning out all that shit on the bottom, all the little sucker branches, all the larfy shit, the stuff that's not going to be worth trimming. If it's not going to give me anything worth trimming down there, take it off. Don't take off the long branches. If they reach up to the net, leave those branches. If they don't make it up to that net, consider taking those branches right off. Clean up that bottom of that canopy. Make all that energy go up to the top. That is one of my pieces of advice. We're popping. We're twisting. So we're doing twisting. We're popping the branches. We're twisting them. We're cleaning up the bottoms. We're lollipopping a little bit. Once these plants start growing up into this net, I'm going to pop that growth also up top up here. Once that net is looking like it's full, that's when I'm going to put that room into flower. When I do this correctly, if I choose the correct strains and line up the room and veg the appropriate time and make this work, it is very easily in a 5x5 tent, you could easily achieve 2, even 2.5, maybe 3 pounds if you're paying attention and you're choosing the right strains and you know your strains, you know how to feed them, you know how to pop, twist, lollipop. If you know how to trellis it all properly, you can hit 3 pounds in a 5x5 tent. It is not unheard of. It is definitely going to depend on your skill level, your dedication, your genetics, and also your environment, your lighting. All of that will matter, but it's possible if you trellis and scrog it properly. I've never gotten that close without doing a trellis system, to be honest with you. So where are we there? I think I answered all of your questions and then some. Rambled pretty good on that one. My dude, Ryan D., make sure you check your inbox because, like I said, you've got a coupon code for a free pack of seeds at iredirect.com. All right, ganja farmers, let's keep this good energy going. I do have another good question here that came from the Grow Help tab on iregenetics.com. This one came from my new friend who wants to be called Joe. Joe, make sure you check your inbox because you've got a coupon code for a free pack of seeds at iredirect.com. Before I jump into this question, let me remind you that this show is brought to you by our good friends at acinfinity.com. That's right. Follow the link in the show notes and the video description to acinfinity.com. When you check out, use coupon code IREARMY to save yourself 10% at checkout. That's right, 10% at acinfinity.com with coupon code IREARMY. Also, that coupon code is good on their eBay store and also their Amazon store. That coupon code works on almost all of the AC Infinity official stores. All right, that was harder to say than it looked. IREARMY is the coupon code. Let's jump into this question now before I stutter a little bit more. It says, if I pollinate a fem seed with a male from another variety, so they have a plant that came from a feminized seed. It's just a feminized plant. It is now just a normal plant at this point. No real noticeable difference from this female fem plant and a regular seed plant. So if I pollinate a fem seed with a male from another variety, now I've just got a male plant, just random dude came by and they hooked up and they did their thing. The question is, will the progeny of them have more intersex traits? My question is, what do you mean more? Where is the more coming from? There should be no intersex trait at all in this setup. If your fem seed is a true female, which that was up to the breeder before that, then that should be a female. There should not be the misnomer that feminized seeds are intersex or hermaphrodites or herms is inaccurate. That is not how it is done. So let me talk real quick about this because I love to do this ramble. If made properly, feminized seeds do not contain any hermaphroditic trait. That is a misnomer. When you think of feminized seeds, when you think of making fem seeds, take the word hermaphrodite, intersex, hermy, herm, all that needs to be removed from this whole entire equation. Because what needs to be done for proper feminized seeds is two true female plants need to be used, which means the breeder that grew these plants, that bred with these plants, has grown these plants multiple times in multiple environments, and given them stresses on purpose, fucked with these plants a lot to see what they do under stress. If I see intersex traits present themselves in my breeding stock, I do not make seeds out of that breeding stock. So there should not be any, and then also I test those. I grow those seeds that are made, and we should not see any intersex in that progeny. So my fem seeds, there's no, and when we do the reversal process, we're reversing it. People say making it herm. That is not what's happening. That is ignorance. That's miseducation. That is not what is going on. We are using a solution. I am using a solution. There are multiple different products and ways out there now to make this happen. But what we're doing is disrupting the copper movement within the plant, which creates, I'm not going to go too far, it creates a reaction in the plant, a hormonal reaction within the plant that says, hey, I got to figure out what to do. And that female plant creates anthers. It's not making it herm. It is creating full anthers. We are treating it with a solution. This would not have happened without a chemical solution. I am causing this with chemicals. It is not a hermaphrodite plant. There's no hermaphrodite involved. Plant A and plant B, neither one of those were hermaphrodite. The progeny that comes from that, no hermaphrodites in there. So I'm not giving you any hermaphrodites to start with. The male plant that you're using, let's just say that it's been tested and it's not hermaphroditic at all. There's no intersex traits there. Where would the herm trait come from? It's got to be, maybe it's a super recessive trait that is hidden in these genetics. That is possible. That's in there. That can be unlocked. One of the grandparents, great-grandparents, somewhere down the line may have had the intersex trait. We could unlock that. That's possible, but highly unlikely if the breeding is done properly here. So the idea that will the progeny of them have more intersex traits? No. Where did the intersex come from? The way I kind of think of breeding, and this is mostly accurate, except the flaw here is recessive traits. The way that I think of breeding is the ingredients you put in are the ingredients you're going to get out. It is a lot like chefing, except there's also with chefing, there's a lot of shit happening behind the scenes that we can't see. We only have a few senses and traits we can observe. We can see weed. What does it look like? We can also see food. When you see both of them, you go, I want some of that. You know what traits you like. Do you like fried looking shit? Do you like stuff that's been decorated with frosting and fucking crumbly shit on top of it? You know what triggers your brain. What kind of weed do you like? Do you like purple weed, bright green weed, dark green weed with fucking purple fucking whatever? You're into, you know what you like. We got our eyes. We got our nose. Before you even see food, you smell it and you know, I want that. Or you go, that gumbo smells like dog shit. Like your brain tells you, it does the same thing with weed. We've only got a few senses and we can use that. It's just like chefing. So whatever you get, if you put chocolate and strawberry into your oven and mix it, I'm making up a cake here is what I'm trying to do. If you make a chocolate strawberry flavored cake, you're going to get chocolate strawberry flavored outcome. If you put non-hermaphroditic plants together, where did the hermaphroditic traits come from? That's what I'm talking about. It's what I'm trying to get to in this long ass ramble here. You're going to get out what you put in. So if nothing is intersex going in, nothing is intersex coming out, unless, like I said, my flaw here is that recessive trait. that old recessive gene that may have lied in one of the grandparents. But I've tested the mom, the dad, and the mom and the dad of both of these plants enough times where I know there should not be intersex. So the idea of more, no, that shouldn't happen. The fems are not herms in the first place, and your male plant is not a herm in the first place. The only real difference, and I've been giving a lot of shout-outs on knowledge in this podcast. I feel like that's important. The only difference in a feminized seed and a non-feminized seed is the pollen. The pollen is the only difference. Once that pollen hits the ovule and the plant happens, there's no difference, except there's no option for a male chromosome to get in there because there were no male chromosomes present in this breeding project. I was going to give some credit to my friend, Mr. Soul. Mr. Soul put this analogy in my head. This is not how it works. This is an idea of how to teach you. Imagine if we took a male plant and a female plant, and we figured out how to remove the male pollen from the air before it got to the female. That's basically what we've learned how to do when making fem seeds. And I know that the pollen is what decides sex because I'm not treating the female plants in any way. The pollen receiver are not getting treated any special way. The pollen donor is the one I'm fucking with and manipulating. So I know that is where my female traits are coming from, my all-female pollen. That's where that's coming from. So essentially, imagine if you learned how to suck the male pollen right out of the air before it got to the girls. That's all we are doing with fem seeds. There's no difference. Once that interaction happens, the difference is over. There's no difference. People like to think, say, claim, show me. Get the same strain in a reg seed, the same strain in a fem seed. That's going to be hard. But get the same thing, run them side by side in the exact same conditions. We're going to have to do this 4, 5, maybe 10 times because genetics are going to be different. Breeders are going to be different. But I bet scientifically, we don't see much of a difference. I bet smoking-wise, we don't see a difference. I bet it's you won't notice a lot of difference. People say that the fem seeds have less vigor. They are less potent. That's wild because I sell a lot of seeds. I offer regular and feminized seeds. I put seeds on the website for very fair prices, and approximately 80% of my seed sales are fem seeds. So if they're so shitty, why are people coming back and buying fem seeds? Also, Lemon Jeffrey, Golden Goat, Orange Gasm, Rose, Blanche, my top sellers lately are fucking killing it. Guess what? All fem seeds. So that is my argument there. I really rambled on that one for a long time. This was supposed to be an episode where I banged through a bunch of these papers and got a bunch of questions answered. Instead, you're getting long fucking answers today. I hope you're enjoying it. My buddy Joe, I hope I answered your question because I've been talking long enough, dude. No, unless you put herms in, herms won't come out. I tried to compare it to a breeding mix and got lost on that, or to a growing mix and a baking mix. Couldn't put it together today. That's my my brain working for you today. Dude, check your inbox. You've got a coupon code for a free pack of seeds at iredirect.com. I'm going to jump into another question here. Before I do, now is the time to remind you to click like and subscribe. That's right. This podcast is free. All you have to do to support me is click like and subscribe. That's right. I would appreciate it. A couple of clicks won't hurt you. You're going to be clicking on shit anyway, bro. Just jump out of Instagram, jump out of whatever you're on. Go click like, go click subscribe. Thank you. I do appreciate it. Also, don't forget about patreon.com/growfromyourheart if you do want to support the podcast. I said I was going to read more questions. Let's get right into it. This one came from a friend who wants to be called Twisted. Shout out to my dude, Twisted. Is this like the official Twisted? Is this the one? I will never know. The question goes a lot like this. It says, yo, Rasta Jeff. And once again, we have another pollen question. I thought I would stick with the theme. Can I use pollen from a reversed female on another plant? If yes, will that cross be feminized too? So now this lets me piggyback on the last question. This listener wants to use pollen that came from a reversed female. That's totally fine. That's totally viable. We've got a female plant. We have treated that plant with a solution. It is now making pollen, right? We've got that pollen from our reversed female. Can we put this on another plant? Absolutely. Fuck yeah, dude. I encourage that. That is making new shit. Open up the gene pool. Yes, do that. Will that cross be feminized also? Yes, because like I said a moment ago, that pollen is what dictates the feminization. That's a word I think I might have just made up of these seeds. That those the pollen is what dictates the male or female, and we're using all female pollen, so your progeny will be all female. This makes me want to explain a couple of growing and breeding terms and labeling terms with you. So you said, if I use pollen from a reversed female, let's start there. We've got pollen from a reversed female. Let's just say for shits and giggles, because this is familiar in my head, the plant we're working with here is golden goat. You've taken a golden goat female. You have made reversed pollen. We're going to take that pollen and put it on another clone of golden goat. The same plant, just a different clone, right? Same fucking genetics, just a different version, a different plant of the same genetics. My screen just went all blue. I don't know if I have a computer anymore. That's weird. I don't need notes right now. We will survive. Panic mode has set the fuck in. So we've taken that pollen from the golden goat. We put it on the other golden goat. That is golden goat S1. That is what is known as an S1 or a selfed golden goat. Golden goat, and this is the way you're going to remember it, golden goat fucked itself, selfed itself. It just jerked itself off, made its own seeds of itself. Golden goat selfed seeds. That's a golden goat. If it's the first time this happened, that's a golden goat S1. The selfed first generation of selfed seeds is that S1 golden goat. Took the golden goat on golden goat, pure golden goat S1. I think that's going to stick in your brain the way that I said it. Now, let's take this golden goat pollen and put it on some other plants. I took some notes. What did we put it on? In my notes, we're going to put it on a lemon skunk plant. And we're also going to put that golden goat pollen on a, what's the other one? It's a platinum tangy plant. Now, that is going to make the lemon skunk to golden goat makes lemon Jeffrey. That's exactly how I made lemon Jeffrey. The golden goat, I don't know how I said that just now. I might have fucked up the wording in my head. I'm thinking too many thoughts with this blue screen. Let me just fix this blue screen of doom. It works. I do have a computer. All right, so we took the golden goat pollen. We're going to put it on a lemon skunk plant. That makes lemon Jeffrey. We take the golden goat pollen and put that on platinum tangy. That makes orange gasm. Those are both feminized and also two of my best-selling strains I've ever made. So by putting that pollen on another plant, that is a reversed pollen, so that is known as an R1, a reversed pollination generation 1. It's an R. If I take the pollen from a plant and put it on itself, I have selfed it. If I take that pollen, the feminized pollen, and put it on another plant, that is an R, a reversal. If it's the first time this has happened, it is a 1 that goes after that, an S1 or an R1. I'm not going to confuse you with other generations and further things. That will be a future episode. Let me check my notes and get the fur out of my eye. Got a little furry from my hat here getting in my eyeball. I'm not even going to edit that shit out. It's a real show today. So that's how I made so the Golden Goat S1s straight up that I sell that will be restocked on the website probably early fall, late summer. Those are S1s. When I take that Golden Goat pollen and put it on the platinum tangy, that makes orange gasm. When I put it on the lemon Jeffrey or on the lemon skunk, that makes lemon Jeffrey. When I put it on the red Lebanese hash plant, that makes rose. When I put it on the blue raspberry truffle, that makes Blanche. Those last few plants are what are known as R1s. I hope you saw the spit, not even going to edit it. But those are R1s, self and reversals. All of those will be feminized because, like I keep saying, that pollen came from feminized pollen. All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys, girls, pimps, hoes, friends, foes, smokers, growers, clone cutters, pollen chuckers, all of you lovely cannabis enthusiasts out there, I do want to thank you once again for listening to another great episode of the podcast. I had fun recording this one, if you can't tell. Make sure you mash that like and subscribe button. Like I said before, you can support the show on Patreon at patreon.com/growfromyourheart. I know I was giving out seeds to supporters. I have honestly ran out of new shit to offer, so I've been offering old shit and trying to keep up, but have no fear because there are new seeds coming very soon. There's been a recent harvest of some blueberry regular seeds. That's right. I did not talk too much about it because I've been fucking jinxing myself by talking about projects too early. Kind of kept this one on the down low and it worked like a champ. There's a bunch of new blueberry crosses. I'll be loading the website up with stuff very soon, so check very soon. If you want updates, go to the website iregenetics.com. On the bottom, there is a tab that says stay up to date. If you type in your email address and click send, you will join my newsletter. When I put out new clones, new cuts, new strains, new testers, maybe I put some shit on sale, maybe I give you a brand new code for AC Infinity, all of that stuff will happen through the newsletter. So join that newsletter Also, Patreon does get the first heads up. I make the newsletter. I make it so Patreon gets all that heads up shit first, because of course they do contribute. Then the newsletter gets it second. Then I go to social media for my advertising. So join all of those, Patreon, the newsletter, and of course all of the social media to stay up to date. Also, make sure you check out acinfinity.com and use that coupon code IREARMY. Save yourself 10%. I think that is all of the rambling and jabbering I'm going to do for this week. Once again, thank you for listening. I'll be back in a week with fresh new content. I want to give a big shout out to my friend Jessica K. And until next time, take a fat dab and give your mom a hug for me.
Rasta Jeff, you bad motherfucker.
Time to take another dab. Grab your piece and then I go find the bag. Rasta Jeff is in the lab. Sit back, hug him up, relax.
Hold up. Roots and wisdom start to show. From the knowledge seeds we grow. Tune in now to hear the vibe. Rasta Jeff in our conscious tribe. He spreads the truth in every word. Every voice must now be heard. Healing like through cannabis. Grow from your heart, pure bliss. Rise up higher, find your way. Grow from your heart every day. Stand real strong. Join the movement, sing the song. Natural medicine and love flows within us like a dove. Educate and elevate. Join the journey, don't be late. Open minds to see the truth. In the soil lies the proof. Rasta Jeff will guide you through. In this garden, find the new. Rise up higher, find your way. Grow from your hearts every day. In the light, we stand real strong. Join the movement, sing the song. Ooh. 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 Open minds to see the truth. In the soil lies the proof. Rasta Jeff will guide you through. In this garden, find the new. Rise up higher, find your way. Grow from your hearts every day. In the light we stand.